I am Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is August 3rd, 2010. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's topic, an interview with Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels. Daniels talks candidly about his faith and also shares concerns about aggressive atheism. The article is written by Mark Mellinger, who will be conducting the interview. The article begins, "With Christmas in mind, Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels opened up about his Christian faith, which he calls the central part of his life, in a recent interview with News Channel 15 at the governor's residence in Indianapolis. Among other revealing responses, Daniels, who is a Presbyterian, said he would agree with the Westminster Confession of Faith's assertion that the purpose of life is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Daniels told News Channel 15 it's probably the most he's talked about his faith publicly in the last 5 years. The conversation sprung at least partly from the governor's recent recommendation of the book No One Sees God by Michael Novak, which Daniels characterized as responding to aggressive atheism with Christian charity. The interview begins. Mark asks, "You've talked about your own personal faith very little. What is the gospel? What is its primary significance to Mitch Daniels?" Daniels replies, "It's true, I don't talk about these things too openly for two reasons. One is that although faith is very central to me, I also take very seriously the responsibility to treat my public duties in a way that keeps separate church and state and respects alternative views." Mitch, that's a great start. Why do I have the feeling that things are going to go downhill from here? Daniels continues, "Secondly, I've sometimes referred to it as a Matthew 6 Christian. If you read that chapter, it's the one that talks about praying in private, not giving your alms in public, not being ostentatious about your faith. And I've always liked that notion and thought that was a pretty important instruction. Mitch, keep going like this, and I'll start referring to you as Governor Daniels." Mellinger asks, "But theology has to shape your life, right? I mean, the external actions that we see you take, they're driven by what's inside. Isn't it all a result of your theology?" Daniels replies, "I hope it is, except we all fall short of that. To me, the core of the Christian faith is humility, which starts with recognizing that you're as fallen as anyone else, and we're all constantly trying to get better. So I'm sure I come up short on way too many occasions." Mitch, you are making it very hard for me to dislike you. Please try harder. He continues, "Our country was founded, this is just a historic fact, some people today may resist this notion, but it's absolutely true, it was founded by people of faith. Mitch, in those days, virtually everyone had faith in some god. Evolution was still almost a century away. Astronomical discoveries were in their infancy, and other scientific laws were just beginning to be uncovered. Those who didn't believe in the Christian God were usually deists who believed in a godlike force that created everything they saw." Daniel says, "It was founded on principles of faith." Mitch, name one. He continues, "The whole idea of equality of men and women and of the races all springs from the notion that we're all children of a just God." Mitch, not quite accurate. "You seem to have forgotten that men and women were not equal, and things would stay that way for 150 years before women got the right to vote. Men were not equal either, unless they were white. However, these inequalities did spring from notions of the Christian Bible, which makes the position of women and slaves very clear." He continues, "It is very important to at least my notion of what America's about and should be about, and I hope it's reflected most of the time in the choices that we make personally." Mellinger asks, "Is there part of you that is bothered by the aggressive atheism of a Sam Harris a Christopher Hitchens, a Richard Dawkins. And what I mean is, this atheism is a little different than atheism has been in the past, because it does seek to convert people. Mark, that was dishonest journalism. You weren't asking a question, you were making an accusation. And your accusation is false. Atheism does not seek to convert people. It seeks to educate them. That is not the same thing. When a person is educated as to the facts, they are free to accept or reject them. Christianity, on the other hand, tells you to accept or suffer eternal damnation. They use the threat of terrible torture to convert the weak and the gullible. Daniel states, "I'm not sure it's all that new." Mitch, you hit the nail. It's not new. New atheist is a derogatory term coined by Christians to refer to non-believers who dare to exercise their freedom of speech. The old atheists were simply those who kept their mouths shut. Daniels continues, "People who reject the idea of a God, who think that we're just accidental protoplasm, have always been with us." Mitch, up to this point you had been doing so well. First, atheism has nothing to do with belief in a biogenesis, which is the theory of the origins of life. People who accept scientific facts include Christians as well as atheists. You need to bone up on biology. Scientists do not believe we are accidental protoplasm. It is far more complicated than that. And you were also wrong about atheists having always been with us. Until the last few centuries, atheism in Western civilization was rare, and for good reason. It could get you killed by violent ghost worshippers. Daniels continues, "What bothers me is the implications, which not all such folks have thought through. Because really, if we are just accidental, if this life is all there is, if there is no eternal standard of right and wrong, then all that matters is power." Mitch, you blew it. Let me count the ways. The beginnings of life and the evolution that followed required some degree of chance, but followed well-understood laws of nature. You say this life is all there is, as if that were not enough. The universe has given you the greatest gift it can bestow, and your only thought is to complain that you want more. Standards of right and wrong change. Besides, I've seen what passes for standards of right and wrong in your Bible, and if I were you, I wouldn't go there. Your Bible is the most foul, disgusting book of moral values ever given to any society. Your conclusion about power does not follow from the premises you presented. I would suggest more time in an introductory-level logic text and less time in the Bible. Daniel says, "And atheism leads to brutality." Mitch, now you are pissing me off. What evidence do you have to support that assertion? He continues, "All the horrific crimes of the last century were committed by atheists. Stalin and Hitler and Mao and so forth. Because it flows very naturally from an idea that there is no judgment and there is nothing other than the brief time we spend on this earth." Mitch, with reasoning powers that feeble, you shouldn't be governor of your own neighborhood watch. Hitler was not an atheist, and that is easy to prove. It is clear you have not studied Hitler at all, and that you are just parroting creationist propaganda. Stalin was an atheist, so what? Now we have one devout Catholic and one atheist, both of whom caused millions of deaths. You can find evil in every group. It is an argument that goes nowhere. If horrific crimes flow naturally from the idea that there is no judgment, then China should be a hell on earth. Yet they have an infinitely more peaceful history than Christian America. The facts simply do not bear out your claim. Your Bible states that the most heinous crimes can be forgiven. So your judgment means nothing. Daniel's final comment. Everyone's certainly entitled in our country to equal treatment regardless of their opinion. But yes, I think that folks who believe they've come to that opinion ought to think very carefully, first of all, about how different it is from the American tradition, how it leads to a very different set of outcomes in the real world. Mitch, you refuse to educate yourselves in science, history, and reality, and instead rely on clergy to tell you fairy tales and hide from you all the insanities described in your holy book. Governor, grow up. And now we move to the science segment. Today's topic, coolest stars come out of the dark. The Spitzer Telescope spies frigid brown dwarfs. Astronomers have uncovered what appear to be 14 of the coldest stars known in our universe. These failed stars, called brown dwarfs, are so cold and faint that they'd be impossible to see with current visible light telescopes. Spitzer's infrared vision was able to pick out their feeble glow, much as a firefighter uses infrared goggles to find hot spots buried underneath a dark forest floor. The brown dwarfs join only a handful of similar objects previously discovered. The new objects are between the temperatures of about 450 Kelvin to 600 Kelvin. As far as stars go, this is bitter cold. As cold, in some cases, as planets around other stars. These cool orbs have remained elusive for years, but will soon start coming out of the dark in droves. NASA's Wide-Eyed Infrared Survey Explorer mission, called WISE, which is up-scanning the entire sky now in infrared wavelengths, is expected to find hundreds of objects of a similarly chilly disposition, if not even colder. WISE is searching a volume of space 40 times larger than that sampled in the recent Spitzer study, which concentrated on a region in the constellation Bootes. The Spitzer mission is designed to look at targeted patches of sky in detail, while WISE is combing the whole sky. Peter Eisenhardt, the WISE project scientist at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California, said, "WISE is looking everywhere, so the coolest brown dwarfs are going to pop up all around us. We might even find a cool brown dwarf that is closer to us than Proxima Centauri, the closest known star." Brown dwarfs form like stars out of collapsing balls of gas and dust, but they are puny in comparison, never collecting enough mass to ignite nuclear fusion and shine with starlight. The smallest known brown dwarfs are about 5 to 10 times the mass of our planet Jupiter. That's as massive as some known gas giant planets around other stars. Brown dwarfs start out with a bit of internal heat left over from their formation, but with age they cool down. The first confirmed brown dwarf was announced in 1995. Co-author Davy Kirkpatrick, a member of the WISE science team at the California Institute of Technology, said that it's possible that WISE could find an icy Neptune-sized or bigger object in the far reaches of our solar system, thousands of times farther from the Sun than Earth. There is some speculation among scientists that such a cool body, if it exists, could be a brown dwarf companion to our Sun. Kirkpatrick said, "Although there is only limited evidence to suggest a large body in a wide, stable orbit around the Sun, WISE should be able to find it or rule it out altogether." Eisenhardt said, "WISE is going to transform our view of the solar neighborhood. We'll be studying these new neighbors in minute detail. They may contain the nearest planetary system to our own." NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena manages the Spitzer Space Telescope. Science operations are conducted at the Spitzer Science Center at the California Institute of Technology in Pasadena. Caltech manages JPL for NASA. And now we move to the religion segment. Today's topic, Christians obey a higher law. This article is an interview with ACLJ attorney Jordan Sekulow. It begins, "In response to a request from the Woodruff City Bulletin, this statement is from Jordan Sekulow, attorney and director of international operations with the American Center for Law and Justice, a Christian organization. By way of introduction, the American Center for Law and Justice, ACLJ, is an organization dedicated to the defense of constitutional liberties secured by law." My comment, that's their opinion. In reality, they constantly attack the Constitution in the interests of Christian fundamentalists. The article continues, "ACLJ attorneys have argued in numerous cases involving First Amendment issues before the Supreme Court of the United States and other federal and state courts. The ACLJ is specifically dedicated to the idea that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. The article states that the Freedom From Religion Foundation is much more than an organization promoting their view of the so-called separation of church and state, a phrase which, of course, does not appear in the Constitution. Jordan, why would the exact words have to appear? It is the concept which is clear to everyone except Christian fundamentalists. He continues, they certainly have a right to advocate their view of the First Amendment and the U.S. Constitution, even if it is wrong. It is clear, though, that the Freedom From Religion Foundation has a fundamental disdain for both religion and religious people. Their goal is also clear, to eradicate any mention of religion, even non-sectarian prayer like the National Day of Prayer, from the public arena. Jordan, they didn't have to. Our legal system has already ruled the National Day of Prayer unconstitutional. He continues, the Freedom From Religion Foundation always overlooks U.S. history dating back to our nation's first Continental Congress and Declaration of Independence. Jordan, as an attorney, you of all people should know that laws are not declared uncontinental or undeclarational. They are declared unconstitutional. It is the Constitution upon which our laws are based. You know this. But since the Constitution protects Americans from your attempt at Christian domination of society, you misrepresent the truth. He continues, does the Freedom From Religion Foundation consider the Declaration of Independence unconstitutional because of the mention of nature's God and Creator? Jordan, how do you figure that nature's God refers to the Christian God? I have never heard your God called nature's God. That sounds more like Spinoza or Einstein's God. That sounds more like it could refer to anyone's God, which is what we know was the intention of the Founding Fathers. As for Creator, in 1776, everyone believed in a Creator. It would be almost a century before the theory of evolution would even be published, and then another century before Stanley Miller would prove that life could begin without any supernatural assistance. Your question about the Declaration of Independence being unconstitutional is nonsensical. Better start bringing up your game a level. He continues, should those words be stricken? After all, they continue to pursue efforts to remove under God from the Pledge of Allegiance and stamp out our national motto, In God We Trust. Jordan, maybe your memory needs refreshing. Under God wasn't put in our pledge by the Founding Fathers, but was added almost 200 years later in 1954 under Eisenhower. Same with the motto. He continues, sadly, this organization mocks religious people. Jordan, what is even sadder is what religious people have done and still do to non-believers, and it is a lot more serious than mocking. Jordan states, a quick review of their online store tells the story. CDs with songs titled, Nothing Fails Like Prayer. Jordan, perhaps you have evidence to the contrary? He continues, they also sell Bible warning labels and bumper stickers that read, The Bible, a grim fairy tale. Jordan, I would be interested to hear you come up with one fairy tale from any nation in history that is grimmer than the Bible. He goes on, the fact is that the Freedom From Religion Foundation is focused on attacking and demeaning religion, specifically the Christian religion. Now, in a letter to the city of Woodruff, the Freedom From Religion Foundation is challenging prayer before meetings and the city seal. We believe that both are constitutional. Jordan, unfortunately for you, our legal system does not agree. By the way, didn't Jesus give you specific instructions on how to pray? Didn't he say not to be like the hypocrites, but to pray in private? Jordan, do you ever read the Bible? His final comment. This letter is another misguided attempt by the Freedom From Religion Foundation to intimidate cities and localities using a flawed interpretation of the First Amendment. Jordan, the fact that you people always lose should be the proof that it is your interpretation that is the flawed one. And now for the final segment of the show, Famous Quotes. Today, Sam Harris, born 1967, he is 43 years old. Harris is an American nonfiction writer and CEO of Project Reason. He is also a proponent of scientific skepticism and is the author of The End of Faith, published in 2004, for which he won an Allbrand Award. And also, Letter to a Christian Nation, published in 2006, a rejoinder to the criticism his first book attracted. And now for the quote from Sam Harris. "We have names for people who have many beliefs for which there is no rational justification. When their beliefs are extremely common, we call them religious. Otherwise, they are likely to be called mad, psychotic, or delusional. Clearly, there is sanity in numbers."
Are you ready, Bruce? Start walking.